And now, live from New York City via Los Angeles, California, it's time for The View from Over Here with the man who has a view for all seasons, your host, Stan Weisleder.
You know something, Stan? I might want to listen to the music better than listen to the show.
Good music. Hell,
I know.
Yeah.
I love Gershwin. Anyway, take it away.
All right. This is Stan Weisleder here in the studio with my good buddy here, Malcolm Berman. And the name of the show is The View from Over Here.
I think I might go back to Malcolm Barry Berman. It sounds more...
more official?
More official, more... I don't remember the word that I'm thinking of. More regal.
Regal?
Regal,
let's not,
royal.
Let's not waste time on that.
Okay, go.
Forget about it. Okay, we are on crntalk.com, and the show is broadcast not only all over the country, it's all over the planet and beyond.
You think we're heard in Gaza? Do they have internet there now?
Well, but it's not in Arabic.
Paul, can we get it translated into Arabic? Okay, we got that. Okay, we'll have it translated.
Paul, take care of it. Anyway, we got some really, I like to talk about offbeat news items every week. Right, Malcolm?
Malcolm.
And I hate to get into politics, but sometimes it's just unavoidable. And I'm talking about that we are drowning. We are literally drowning in a world of BS. And I use the initials in deference to Paul so he doesn't have to bleep it out. But when I say BS, I think everybody out there knows what BS is.
Well, we could say Bill Blank.
Oh, okay. You could say it. Let's talk about what the BS is. I'll tell you this much. If we had higher hip boots and bigger shovels, we still couldn't do the job.
We'd still drown.
It's inundating us. It's incredible. And I'm talking about the cover-up, the uncovering, and the recovering up of the story that the experts have already conclusively figured out. How did they figure it out? They figured it out from all of the available evidence, which includes electronic signatures left by aircraft, missiles, tracking devices, as well as the reconstructing of trajectories that are based on radar intercepts. And I'm all leading up to the Malaysia Flight 17. The Russians and their flunkies, and I really use this word in the truest sense, flunkies, in the eastern Ukraine, they must think that we and the entire world are complete stupid idiots. What say you, Malcolm?
Well, as I always say, if you say a lie long enough, some people will believe it. It reminds me of the old story about, that they always advise a guy, even if your wife catches you in bed with another woman, never admit to it. There's always some reason. You never admit that you're doing wrong. That's what's happening with the Russians. That's what's happening with in the Middle East. And there's so many outlets that are reporting it. It's unavoidable that you're going to have, the Russians say one thing, the Ukrainians say another thing, and they both sound convincing. Except, of course, the evidence goes one way.
The evidence says something else, so they could say whatever they like. But a lot of times people, they take the attitude, my mind is made up, don't bother me with the evidence.
Well, I hate to, quote Bill Maher, but, would you believe if your daughter said I'm pregnant, but I'm still a virgin? Now, look how many people believe that.
Well, yeah, it could be immaculate conception.
Yeah, and look how many people believe that.
Yeah, there are a lot of idiots out there. And we have some more BS, which I would like to mention before it completely overtakes us. The recent situation in Gaza was, it's always been there, but it kind of like came to a head and really stuck its ugly nose out when the Israeli civilian extremists killed the Palestinian youth as revenge for the Palestinians killing three Israeli youths. Now, According to President of Israel Netanyahu, the Israeli extremists that killed the Palestinian youth, they've already been arrested and are awaiting trial.
Excuse me, is Netanyahu president or prime minister?
Prime minister, president,
okay.
Same difference.
You're the top man.
Okay, top man, top gun. So those people are already awaiting trial. Now, can you say the same about the Palestinians who killed the three Israeli youths?
Well, it depends on who you listen to.
Of course not. You know, they're probably naming a square or something after the guys that killed those three Israeli youths. So that's some of the BS that we're dealing with. And, you know, the world has always had a different set of rules for Israel as compared to other countries. But let's not even go there.
Well,
for
I'm
now.
A believer that the people aren't necessarily anti-Zionist, which the Israelis are, but anti-Semitic. Because all over Europe now, you see,
people shouldn't be anti anything.
Well, they shouldn't, and what is are two different stories.
You know, people should listen to the words that were written by that. You know what I'm talking about, right?
But what would Jesus do?
Not with Jesus. Well,
the Statue of Liberty?
No, I'm talking about the song that would, you know, the song Imagine.
I don't believe that anymore. I used to believe it that, you know, imagine all the people living in a world without any government. It's not the governments that.
It's the different governments.
It's
governments that permit people to kill people because they're not of the same religion. And it's the governments that pass laws that say, hey, if you are not this, then you are history.
Well,
look what's happening now in the Mideast. They're killing Christians. They're killing Jews. And they're killing.
They're killing each other.
Other Muslims that don't adhere to your or their particular
brand the Sunnis and the Shiites are constantly killing each other, blowing up mosques. You know, they revolt. They revolt. I just received what we haven't
heard. Well, they blew up one of the ancient mosques that goes back thousands of years. They reduced it to rubble.
Yeah, and they revolt when the Western world says something against the Quran, and they're blowing people up.
Yeah.
That I don't understand.
Hey, I'll give you one more thing to think about. I've done a little reading on this, and from what I see, aside from the fact that since the beginning of time, more people have been killed due to religion or differences in religion than all other causes combined, even religious leaders will agree to that. But one other thing they're not aware of, that just about every country on this planet at one time or another during its initial formation or even lately will pass laws or permit the policy of killing other people whose religion or religious beliefs are different. Killing, specifically, a law which says if you do, you're history, and if you don't, maybe this, maybe that, or they'll just blindly close their eyes and let it happen, except one nation on this entire planet.
And pray tell, what is that nation?
I give you one guess.
Israel.
Yeah. It ain't the United States. A lot of people would think that, but no. Maybe once they pass the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, but I'll tell you now. Yeah, I don't know if it's the fault of improved communications that we know everything that's happening in the world, but you listen to the news and the world is a frightening place. Whether the Middle East is, you have all these wars in all the countries. In Africa, you have the Ebola breakdown, where they're introducing new diseases that we can't control anymore. In the U.S., we have the weather. The freaky weather that we have, where they have a cyclone in Massachusetts, which they never had. We had the lightning at Venice Beach killing this 20-year-old kid. And all over the world, they're different odd stories. It's sort of you don't want to wake up in the morning.
Well, you could sleep all day and just ignore it, and maybe hopefully it'll go away if you ignore it long enough.
Well, that's the advantage of doing drugs.
That's true.
Well, that's what I always tell my kids. Not to do drugs, but the fact if you do drugs because you want to get a little buzz, after a while it's okay. If you're trying to forget things and avoid reality, that's bad.
You know what, Malcolm? There's so much BS out there in so many different aspects of life. There's no way we can change it or even roll it back. Sometimes, you know, it's steamrolling us. It just becomes unbearable. So let's put that aside and get to our first guest today.
Well, first of all, we haven't been able to contact the rabbi.
Is he in synagogue?
I think Tuesday the rabbi slept late.
Okay.
So we'll try to get him, the next segment, in our next segment.
Right, we could talk a little bit more about this, and we can have our primary guest all primed to go. Okay, so Paul, you'll call him at about, I guess, at when is the next break?
A commercial break. You'll get it at Asner.
Okay, he'll be ready to go.
Okay, now I have a question for you.
What's your question?
I don't know if you've been following what's happening in the NFL, where the Ray Rice, who's a back for, I think it's the Ravens.
Well, why don't you tell me what he said, okay?
It's not what he said. It's what he did.
What did he do?
They have a video of him dragging his wife out of the elevator unconscious.
Well, maybe she deserved it.
Well, that's the question. Does a woman deserve it? Is it ever permissible?
I don't know.
For a man to hit a woman?
Depends on the circumstances.
Right. You really? I think you could be suspended from this station for that.
But
I'm the one that would do it, so I'm not going to do it.
I don't really believe that. I'm just trying to be funny.
The question, they were only engaged. You know, when this happened, I think this was in February. And since they got married, and she does not prefer charges, and he has not been convicted of a crime, and the NFL has suspended him for 2 games, which has brought an outroar from these women groups.
Well, wait a minute. Has he been brought up on charges? Have charges been pressed? Did she press charges?
She did not press charges, and since she's has married him.
So what's the crime then? She can't be forced to testify against him.
Right. Well, the crime is should have only been suspended for 2 days from the NFL. Or because of what he did, is that forgivable? Can he just say, I'm sorry, and say, three mea culpa?
Well, first of all, how did the NFL find out about it?
There's a video.
Who took the video?
I'm not sure who took the video, but there is definitely a video of him dragging her out of the elevator in Las Vegas by her hair, and she is unconscious.
Okay, so someone had a cell phone.
Right, and I don't think it's in question whether she was hit or not. He admits to hitting her.
Well, so we hit her. Big deal.
Well, that's a question. But they suspend players, for smoking marijuana, the NFL, because it's bad for their image. But they only suspended him for 2 games.
You know, when you think about this kind of thing, years and years ago, the press, they honored, or honor is the wrong word, but they respected the privacy of all of these high-end people, from the president all the way down.
There ain't no privacy anymore.
And now all of that has changed, and if they could catch a photograph, you get a photograph of the president fooling around, it's big news.
Well, we have 30 seconds left.
30 seconds. Okay, hey, our next guest will be Ed Asner. And Paul, our illustrious go-to guy in the studio.
We hope he's on the phone.
Does everything, tells us when to shut up and when
and
to
when
start
to
talking.
Shut up. You're listening to see, to the
we
view
have 15
from
seconds, Malcolm.
You're listening to the view from over here on crntalk.com. And you can get our website at www.viewfromoverhere.com. Know the. We'll be back in a few seconds.
Every day is Save the Earth Day, and each of us has a part to play. For more information and how you can do your part to save the Earth, contact us at savetheworld.net. That's savetheworld.net.
Hi there, this is Stan Weisleder in the studio with Malcolm Berman.
Malcolm Barry Berman,
as he likes to be referred to. And the name of the show is The View from Over Here. It is broadcast on crntalk.com, which goes out not only throughout the entire U.S. and possessions, but all over the planet.
And other planets, if they're listening to us.
If there are other people on other planets,
well, there
that's
are
true.
There are people on other planets, and they're listening to us. But they haven't been able to communicate
What is
yet.
Our rating there?
Our rating there is...
All right, let's stop the BS. Okay, let's get down to our special guest for today. This is somebody who really does not need an introduction, but I'm going to do it anyway. When I looked up his IMBD and his biography and everything else about him, I was more impressed than I was before I looked it up. His career is actually stupendous, phenomenal, just about any other superlative you could think of. His name is Ed Asner. Ed, are you with us right now?
I fell asleep about 5 minutes ago.
Oh, okay. Ed tries to be funny also.
Ed, this is Malcolm. How many people?
No. I succeeded being funny. You've got to correct that line.
Does anyone refer to you as Lou Grant?
Oh, sure. That's your phone or mine?
No, that's yours.
Oh, God.
Can you answer the phone, Ed? Tell them that you're busy with an interview.
I'm with two stunningly attractive men, ladies and gentlemen, so please forgive me if I can't pick up.
All right, Ed, you're back with us, I hope, okay?
I never left you.
All right, you never left. Listen, what made you get into the acting business?
Escape.
Yeah, well, like, what's a nice Jewish boy like you doing in Kansas City? That's what I wanted to know.
Well, I was in Chicago at the time. I began to pursue acting and at the University of Chicago, and I tried out for a play for the first time, and it hooked me. And the excitement of theater and the capacity to play different people, that took me out of my own...
dull life?
The disgusting self made it very easy for me to pursue acting.
Listen, what advice would you give to an up-and-coming beginning actor or actress that is thinking about going into your business?
You don't think about going into the business. You either do it or you don't. You either follow your primal urges, which wants you to act, which gives you delight in acting, which gives you the escape, the therapy that acting gives me, or you plod along and do your 9-to-5 job.
Yeah. Now, if acting gives you therapy, how much do you charge yourself?
I charge myself a lot. I become tremendously impressed with myself each time I complete therapy.
Well, I'm impressed with your career. Listen, have you ever taken acting classes?
Oh, yeah. When I was in New York, I studied with Mira Rostova. I tried Stella Adler at one time, didn't care for it. I tried, what's his name?
You ever go to HP Studios? Herbert Bergdorf?
Lee Strasberg. No, I never tried them. But Mira Rostova was a teacher there before she dropped off into her own private lessons. And she was a great teacher.
Listen, I've heard a lot about the method acting method. What is method acting?
Well, I don't know since I never practiced.
Oh, okay. I love that answer.
Have you always been able to earn a living at it, or did you do, as we speak to other actors, you know, part-time jobs while you're trying to get a role?
No, I fortunately never had to take an outside job. Once I committed to it, I was very lucky. I mean, there were lean times, of course. There were jobs I took that I didn't want to take. But it was always acting.
Okay. Well, I hear our music. I guess we're going to be taking a break.
So don't go away, so Ed. We have a lot more to talk about.
If you say so.
Yeah, you're listening to The View from Over Here. And we have our special guest, Ed Asner. And we'll be right back on crntalk.com. And you can listen to our shows, all our shows, on www.viewfromoverhere.com. And that's no the. And our show is also repeated Saturday at, what, 1 a.m.? 1 p.m.
1 p.m.
And 5 p.m. on Sundays. So listen to us and stay tuned. And we'll be right back with Ed Asner.
We're back. This is Stan Weisleder with Malcolm Barry Berman here in the studio. Our special guest today, Ed Asner. Ed, we have a bunch of questions for you. One of them is your main part on TV ran for about 12 years, from the Mary Tyler Moore Show to your own spinoff, Lou Grant. Being that particular character for so long, has that been a help or a hindrance in getting other parts?
Repeat that question.
You played the same character in two.
I got that.
Okay.
Yeah. Did it do what?
Was it a help or hindrance in getting other roles? I mean, you had such a strong identity as Lou Grant.
I honestly can't tell you. There were times when people judged me as Lou Grant and said no, he wouldn't be right for that. But at the same time, while doing Lou Grant, I was given the opportunity to do Axel Jordache in Rich Man, Poor Man, which totally flew in the face of the character of Lou Grant. And that was followed in the following year by playing Captain Davies in Roots.
Yeah, that was a marvelous role.
And they both were nothing akin to Lou Grant, so I guess I would have to be really honest and say, no, it didn't get in the way.
How much of you is Lou Grant? How much of you? How much is that your personality?
The comedic Lou Grant, I based mostly, I was always thinking of my two brothers, who, in their bigger-than-life conduct. But when I got to the serious Lou Grant, of the series of the same name, I had to go more, excuse me, just like I am now.
Paul, get him a glass of water.
I had to go more into myself, plunge into myself, discover myself, and use more of myself.
In all your years, do you have a particular favorite part or role that you played?
I loved Rich Man, Poor Man. I loved a movie I did in Toronto with Ann Jackson and Meredith Baxter, called Family Man. Another movie I did out of one of those Canadian provinces was called Heads.
Heads?
A black comedy.
Mm-hmm. I remember, the thing I remember you for is my kids went to Dixie Canyon Avenue School in Sherman Oaks, California.
Oh, really?
And 1 year you were there, Dr. Seuss Day, reading Dr. Seuss. And I have to say, you were marvelous.
You were there?
I was there.
I'll be there.
You know, I've always said, Malcolm, that the best, most talented type of actor is somebody who could not just do drama or bad guys, but somebody who could do comedy. Comedy is the hardest form of acting. Ed not only does that, but he is great as a villain. I remember him in JFK. He wasn't really a villain, but he was a guy you wouldn't want to mess with.
He was a shtick dreck.
And in French, what does that mean?
A piece of shit.
Go, Paul.
All right, Paul, oh, you got the guy in the control room all shook up. Do you have to bleep that out? He bleeped it out. Don't worry about it. A lot of times I drop an F-bomb just to see if he's awake, you know, to interrupt him from his ham sandwich, but he catches it.
Okay, now that we've reviewed the past, what do you have in the future? Do you have anything lined up that you would like to tell people?
A bunch of little stuff appearing. I'm doing a movie that Pat Boone is producing and starring in. 3 days in that. I play a judge. I'm doing another movie, a small role in it, called Citizens United, a fictional account attacking the Supreme Court ruling on Citizens United.
Mm-hmm.
There's a commercial job I'm doing in Illinois, which will occupy a weekend. There's a conference in Fairfield, Connecticut, I believe, I'll be attending.
So you're doing major traveling, huh?
Yeah.
You're keeping pretty damn busy. Listen, I read your bios and everything else in Wikipedia and all of that, and it says that you are an activist. What do you activate in? What are your prime projects? What are the things that you want to be active in or you're activating with?
Oh, let's see. I'm on the board of Defenders of Wildlife.
Is that life in Malibu?
They've been the chief achievers of getting wolves back into the lower 48. And they fight a constant battle, particularly against the governor of Idaho, who never saw a wolf he didn't want to kill. I write the letters for Disarm, which is designed to get pharmaceuticals into Cuba.
Pharmaceuticals into Cuba. Could you explain that one?
There is a blockade by the United States on certain drugs being allowed to go to Cuba.
Now, why is that? Why are we still at war or almost at war with Cuba? You must know something about it, being an activist. You know, we made up with Russia, sort of. We made up with all of the other sort of kind of communist countries, which are really not communist anymore. They're more, some of them are more capitalistic than we are. But why is there still a thing going on between the U.S. and Cuba?
Why don't you ask all the Cuban Americans who have influenced American policy?
Especially
okay,
in Miami.
Okay, I hear you. I got that one. All right.
And it's also very important, you know, to keep the military-industrial complex running full steam.
Yeah, that's what Eisenhower warned us about.
To keep the people terrorized.
Yes.
And it's easier to keep an island off the coast of the United States, 90 miles, as a terrible mortal enemy, than to worry about Russia over on the other side of the map.
That has nuclear weapons, whereas Cuba has none.
Yeah, that's what the governor of Florida says. He knows about war because he could see Cuba from his window.
Yeah. He should fire his howitzers.
That's something that Sarah Palin would say.
Actually, did you hear that Sarah Palin is going to have her own online network streaming?
Oh, I don't want to hear it.
Ed, listen, it said something in the Wikipedia that you signed off on a letter asking for truth in the 9/11 attack.
Asking for what?
more transparency or for the government to tell the truth regarding the 9/11?
Well, I'm a 9/11 believer that there was a conspiracy.
Okay, can you give us a little insight on that or what you think happened? Or
what I think happened? Nobody ever really dealt with the fact that Building 7, the third tall building, came down. Nobody explained why it came down. Its owner, who collected billions on insurance on the destruction of the towers, at one point was heard being quoted as saying, we'll have to pull it, which means demolition. Well, that's fine. So they pulled it. Nobody ever discussed it.
So who do you think the conspiracy is by? I mean, who are the conspirators?
You know, if I knew that, then I'd be a marked man.
Yeah. He'd write a book about it, Malcolm.
Yeah. Would you do the movie?
Of course.
Of course he would.
Yeah.
Anyway, if there's, going back, if there's one thing that you regret in your life or your career, what would that be? If you could change now.
I could change now.
You might not have anything.
Well, it doesn't jump easily to mind, I must say. I have regrets about betrayals of my wife. I was not a square shooter there. My first wife, I'm speaking. Mm-hmm. A lovely lady. I should have been a better man, a bigger man.
Hey, if you go too deep into that stuff, we're going to send you a therapy bill.
Yeah. But you haven't healed me.
Yes, they say, lie down on my couch and tell me about it.
Yeah.
Which actually, you know, being
you're talking about political acts, and there are no political acts. I have some partial regret that not voting for Jimmy Carter the second time. I voted for John Anderson. Ooh. And I realized that with the combined votes of the Anderson campaign, and with the votes that Carter did receive, it's possible we might have defeated Reagan.
So you're not a Reagan fan. Did you know Reagan personally?
I just nodded to him once. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, you guys are fellow actors.
That's right.
And he was also very active in this. Wasn't he in the Screen Actors Guild?
He was the longest-serving president they ever had.
And you were also, right?
Yeah.
You were president of SAG, if I remember reading that.
Right. That's right. There was, and actually, when I became controversial as president of SAG, everybody seemed to think that I was creating the controversy so that I could follow in Reagan's footsteps and become president.
I have a question for you, Ed. When this government said that they killed Obama, did you think that they really did at that time?
You mean Osama bin Laden.
Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, you said Obama.
Well,
that's a good
called
slip.
A Freudian slip. Osama, excuse me. That was only one letter difference.
Yeah.
When they said they killed Osama, do you think they really killed him at that point, or that he was dead from the bombings that took place when they first started to chase him back in 2001?
I have no idea what is the true story. All I know is that I was very displeased that they killed him, that they should have had him up for trial, but they wouldn't want him for trial because too many other heads would roll if he were up for trial. I felt the same way about Saddam Hussein, that he should never have been killed. He should have been placed on the jury, on the witness stand, and identified all the people who kept him in power for all those years, including the United States.
I thought they gave him a fair trial and then killed him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but now with
the situation... Where did you read those fairy tales?
Well, that's all over Fox News, right?
Yeah.
Well, now they refer to his days as a ruler of Iraq as the good old days.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, I don't think we ever contemplated what that country is after we don't have a dictator.
They didn't give a goddamn.
Well, look what happened to Yugoslavia. After Tito died, the country went into chaos.
Well, we have the bloodshed of Bosnia. Yeah. And then the same applies to Libya,
Well, Libya's happening now, and look what's happening in Egypt.
Yeah, and Libya's falling apart, and it does not have the phenomenal peace and lack of bloodshed that it had while Gaddafi was there.
I'm a firm believer in those countries. You need a strong dictator.
Yeah, while we're on the subject of politics, which I really hate to get into, Ed, tell me, what's your take on the Israeli-Hamas situation?
I think it's endless. I think this country has been a willing handmaiden to Israel and has failed to serve the purposes of peace by backing the decision by the PLO to take over what Hamas was ruling, which was agreed upon. They could have done business. They followed Netanyahu's desire to stiff arm all the way. And there would be no Gazan tunneling and shelling now had the United States supported the PLO in its takeover of all of the West Bank.
Do you think that there would be peace if the PLO took over the West Bank, if most of the countries in the Middle East do not recognize Israel as a country, but refer to them as the occupation force?
I don't think it's most of the countries, by the way. I think that there are a couple or a few more intransigence that you're referring to.
Well, the only country that, if I remember correctly, that recognized Israel was Egypt. And now we're not sure about their stance.
I suppose so.
What about Jordan?
But I would repeat and insist strongly that if the United States had been more open in its dealing, in its support of the PLO, we would have had peace by now. I don't care under what stripes or how many other Arab countries might be willing to call for the destruction. It would have all withered away.
Yeah, Ed, you seem to have a very passionate view of what's taking place politically across the world. If, let's make believe, if our government offered you the job of being ambassador to one of these countries, would you accept?
Oh, well,
other actors have done it.
Yeah, I don't think they've done it well.
But would you do it?
No, it's not my job. Yeah. It's my hobby.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you,
I have a hobby.
It must take so much energy. I mean, John Kerry is in and out of the planes. I see him walking up and down the... There it goes, your phone again.
Jesus.
No, they want you.
I think that's President Obama. Calling you to become an ambassador.
My ambassador.
Yeah, tell him you're busy. You'll get back to him.
Hey, I have no idea who listens to the show. I mean, for all I know, he is listening right now, or some of his representatives.
Yeah, we invited him to come on the show, but he ignored us.
No, you invited Hillary.
Dare he?
We invited Obama year ago. Never even responded. We invited Hillary.
Consider yourself lucky.
Uh-oh.
No, I'm disappointed in the man. But not to weasel out, if my country asked me to be an ambassador, not because I'd want to, I would do it to serve my country.
Of course.
And I would hope that if I was failing at the job, I would have the guts to resign as a failure.
I don't know if any of these people recognize that they're failures, even if they are.
No. Yeah.
Now, you're a very blunt guy, Ed.
Well,
ambassadors like to, step easy, don't insult anybody, use
right.
a lot of
that's
tact
right.
and so forth. I got the feeling that you would call it like you see it, no BS.
Well, there's that public persona aspect to me, but then there's a mild pussycat that lurks underneath.
Ah.
Well, that's what I saw when you read Dr. Seuss with all those kids.
Yeah. I just have to play it by ear. I was horrified by Kerry's conduct when he ran for the presidency.
In what aspect?
He did not take on the people who were calling him a coward and a traitor, and used both fists to assail them. He backed into a corner and let them win the day. And I thought, what a horrible way to back out of the race for the presidency. He never fought.
you think ultimately he didn't want it?
Yeah. I think he was busy counting his millions with heiress was she?
The Hines, I think.
Hines heiress, yeah.
Well, maybe he's not cut out to be a leader. Maybe he's really cut out to be an employee.
Oh, but he jumped into the leadership on Veterans for Vietnam Veterans for Peace.
Well, I do not know why someone would want to be president of the United States. If you see their pictures when they're first elected,
I know.
And then like 3-4 years later, you see the lines in their face and the grays in their hair.
Yeah, but you get a multi-million dollar book deal afterwards.
Yeah, but if you can make money in a much easier way. Become an actor.
Look at the lines it put into George Bush's face. My God. And I never thought that he weighed in on any heavy decisions while I knew him.
Well, we could talk. I'm not disappointed with Bush a second. What I'm disappointed in is that people voted him for a second term.
Yeah, of course.
Overwhelmingly, also.
I do a little play with Mark Rydell, and it's called Oxymorons. And a bunch of oxymorons are cited during the course of it. Equivalent to Republican morality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like military intelligence.
Yeah, that's right. that's one of them. And the biggest laugh comes with Democratic leadership.
Ah. I think at this point in life, I'm just down on politics. I don't think there should be professional politicians anymore. There are people who, start out as, attorneys and become politicians and stay their whole lives in Washington. And they have absolutely no concept of what life is outside of Washington.
Well, I think the public has to say, how come all the people sitting in Congress are millionaires?
That's a very good question.
But they're now millionaires.
Yeah, but you know what? We got the break coming up, Ed.
We don't have a break. That's the end of the show.
No, what do you mean the end? The end? Ed, we have to have you come back. We want to tackle that last issue.
Well, what you have to do is start working for public...
NPR?
Government sponsorship of elections.
I agree with that one.
As long as elections are bought, we will never have honest government.
I agree with you on that one. I think since we control the airways, the FCC, I don't see why they charge so much money.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ed, thank you very much. And We'd love to have you come into the studio. We're not that far away from you. We're in beautiful downtown Sunland.
Okay.
And speak to you eyeball to eyeball.
Thank you.
Yeah, and either way, we definitely want you to come back. We didn't even touch half the things we wanted to talk to you about.
Thanks again.
We didn't. I want you to touch this.
Oh, my God. Thanks again, Ed. You're listening to The View from Over Here on CRN Talk Radio. And I'm not sure. I think we're at the end of the show.
According to my watch, it is. Yeah, I didn't even realize it. All right, now we're just giving us the hurry up sign. Okay,
see you next week.
The View from Over Here is a co-production of Infinity X and TBG International. For further information, contact Malcolm Berman at 818-687-2784. That's 818-687-2784.